So Susan and I are going to try and do something here together that is new. If it's an epic failure, we'll learn from it and move on. But if not, I hope that it will serve us well as we get started this morning. So I'm going to show you, with Susan's help, a series of four pictures. As you look at them, I want you, when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of time of interaction, which we normally don't do on Zoom. We're going to have interaction about what they have in common. So that's what you're looking for. With each of these four pictures, I want you to look at them and then think about what they have in common. So this first one is a guy on a paddleboard. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to the sign there that is behind him, which says "Dangerous current, no swimming." Okay, that's picture number one. Okay, Susan, number two. All right, so these are two guys with phones taking pictures of, yes, you got it, lava flow, fresh lava flow coming from a volcano in Iceland. Okay, it looks pretty close to them, right? Okay, picture number three. This guy has a different expression on his face than I would if I had that behind me. But he seems to be fairly oblivious to the fact that there is a tornado that is headed his way. And then finally, these are three young ladies who are looking for a good photo op, I think. Although it doesn't really look like I would want to be in that picture with them. So anyway, those are four pictures. Thank you, Susan. So we have the guy on the paddleboard. We have the two people with phones looking at the lava. We have the guy with the tornado behind him. And then we have three girls, one and a half, hanging over a cliff. Now, here's where I want some feedback. All of these pictures have something in common. What do they have in common? When you're ready, go ahead and unmute and share.
It's Jim Brown, and I would say potential danger is the thing that's in common.
They are each potentially dangerous. That is absolutely true. Thank you, Jim. Anybody else?
I think they all trusted the person who was taking the photograph of them to save them, particularly the fourth girl, and who's not shown in the picture.
Her life was literally in the other two girls' hands, for sure. What else?
Danielle here. I feel like they're just putting their lives at risk for a good photo. I don't know if I'd do that.
Yeah, they were. It was a great photo, each of them, but they definitely were putting their lives in harm's way, no doubt about it. I think in every situation that you saw, the risks that each individual was taking was far greater than the reward that they would get. So, like, it is a great photo. There's no question about it. All of those photos are cool. And it would be something that I would want to blow up and put on canvas in my office if it were me. However, I think the reward for the picture was not as great as the risk that they were taking. All of them, in my opinion, are making rather foolish choices. And so when we look at those pictures and we think about what we see, most of us probably wouldn't have made the same foolish decision that they made. But if we were to look back at our lives and be honest with ourselves, we've all made some pretty foolish decisions. Now, whether or not it's hanging over a cliff or paddleboarding into dangerous current, all of us, when assessing our lives, if we were honest, would say, you know what? If I had that one to do over, I probably wouldn't have done it that way. And so the reason that we make foolish decisions often is because we don't see the signs. We don't heed the warning that is there for us. We somehow, some way, don't acknowledge what is coming or what is right in front of us. If we would have known to make a different choice, we probably would. And so what I want to do to this morning is to help us look at how we can cut down on making foolish decisions, because foolish decisions always lead to regret, and regret never leads us to the life that we desire. So that being said, I want us to briefly just kind of look back, because last week when we started this series called Hey Siri, I promised you that each week I would give you a simple question that you could ask yourself before making really important decisions that what I feel would dramatically improve the level of confidence you have, and it would also at the same time reduce your regret. Now, if you weren't with us last week, the question we asked ourselves was the integrity question. The question was this: am I being honest with myself, really? Am I being honest with myself, really? Because oftentimes, the reason we lie to others is because we lie to ourselves. Mm. And what I want to do over the series of weeks is give you a grid by which you can make and assess the decisions from a place of wisdom, from a place of clarity, from a place where you would regret less the decisions you're making. So last week was, am I being honest with myself, really? This week, the question that I want us to consider is the maturity question. And that is, in this situation, what is the wise thing for me to do? What is the wise thing for me to do? Now, if each of the people I showed you earlier would have asked the question, they probably would have made a different choice, different than the one that they did. But sometimes, for whatever reason, we just push past those signs telling us, don't go there, don't do that. But we just keep pressing on. And maybe, just maybe, it's because we ask ourselves the wrong kinds of questions. We don't ask ourselves what is the wise thing to do. We ask ourselves, how far can I go without going too far? How fast can I drive without getting pulled over? I know that when I get on the Garden State Parkway that I could probably safely drive 65 to about 72 miles an hour. But once I go beyond 72 miles an hour, my level of risk increases dramatically for getting pulled over. I have these thoughts in my head as I'm driving down the road. I honestly do. How far is too far? I don't want a ticket, but I like speed and I want to get to where I'm going faster. I asked the wrong questions. Perhaps there are questions like, how many more hours can I work without neglecting my family and their paying the price for my being absent? How long can I neglect my finances and charge up my credit cards before the debt overwhelms me and the interest is more than I can pay? How long can I neglect my health, not rest when I need it, not eat well, not exercise before my body feels the effects? How much can I indulge in an addictive behavior without becoming an addict? These are the wrong kinds of questions, because to ask these kinds of questions is to frame our decision-making around the lowest common denominators. Because when we ask these kinds of questions, what we're asking ourselves is, how close can I get to wrong without doing wrong? How close can I get to dangerous without hurting myself or someone else? When you ask the wrong questions, you inevitably will make poor decisions, and they will pave the way to great regret. Now, in his letter to the believers in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul wrote, as Paul told you, he told them, be very careful, be intentional, be thoughtful about how you live, about what you say, about how you act. He says, don't be foolish, don't be unwise, be wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish. Understand what God's will for you is. Now, the larger context of this is a community that he spent almost 2 years of his life on his second missionary journey investing in, spending time speaking into their lives, encouraging them. Now, in chapter 5, which is the next to last chapter in this book of Ephesus, book of Ephesians, the larger issue that he's speaking to before he gives them this instruction is about the purity of their hearts, minds, and speech. You see, apparently they had a problem with pessimism and cynicism and negativity and critical thinking and critical speaking. They were tearing each other down. And he said, this is not the way that it's supposed to be with people of faith. We're not supposed to tear each other down with our words. We're to build each other up. It's foolish to think that you can say these things and there's going to be no impact on the larger body of Christ. You represent Jesus. Be careful about how you speak. And your speech, he would say to them, comes out of the purity or impurity of your heart. Out of the mouth speaks. And so that gives you a temperature about how you are actually doing in your lives. They also had some issues with their behavior. There was a lot of drunkenness. When they would get together and drink, they would ask themselves the question, how many more can I have before one more is too many? And they would drink and get drunk. And what he's saying to them is, it is one thing to enjoy a glass of wine. It is another thing to be drunk and to embarrass yourself and to embarrass others and to put your life in danger and to put other people's lives in danger. When he's speaking to them, he's speaking to them about wisdom in their decision-making. He's speaking to them about purity in their hearts, purity in their mouths, in their lives. The point of regret is always preceded by a series, Paul would say, of unwise decisions. And so he tells us the standard by which we are to assess not only our financial, our relational, our personal, and our professional decisions is that we must be very careful how we live. Are you careful about how you live? Are you thoughtful about how you speak? Are you intentional with your decision making? Be very careful, he says. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. And then he invites us to redeem the time in a way that propels us towards a preferred future. That invitation is fueled by wisdom, being careful rather than careless, seeking to understand what the Lord's will is in any given situation. What is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? But let me take it even one step further and ask it from three different perspectives. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Now listen, each of us have a past that predisposes us to specific temptations, addictions, decision-making, etc. Because of our history, there are places that some of us just shouldn't visit. There are activities that some of us just shouldn't engage in. These places and activities may be totally fine for the average person in the same way to make a decision in a differing way. But the average person doesn't share our experiences with those environments. Every decision that comes our way needs to be filtered through the reality of our past experiences. They need to inform us, lest they be something that we continue to repeat time after time after time. Each of us, when looking backward, could think about foolish decisions we've made and regrets that came from them. But if we learn from them, that becomes the lens through which we become smarter, wiser. So our past predisposes us to certain things that we need to pay attention to. And as we do, it can be a filter for making what is the wise choice in that specific situation. But it's not only our past that we filter the wisdom through, it's our current set of circumstances. We owe it to ourselves and the people that we love to take our current emotions, state of mind, and perspective into account when we're making decisions. In light of my current set of circumstances and state of mind, what is the wise thing for me to do? If I'm feeling super angry and reactive to something that has happened, I probably should hit the pause button before I send off a fiery email or tweet or post. How many people have made foolish posts, tweets, emails, because they responded and reacted so quickly out of their anger? If I'm super angry and feeling reactive to something that's happened, I probably should step back and take a moment before I do something that I regret. If I've had a bad day or a bad week at work, I probably shouldn't tender my resignation without any plans for what my next step is going to be. If I'm really sad and I'm dwelling on things that are beyond my control, I probably shouldn't disengage from that which brings me life. If I know that exercise and eating well and getting good sleep, if I know that connecting with certain friends or reading the scriptures or meditating are going to be helpful, I probably shouldn't isolate myself and disengage from that when I'm in a place of deep sadness. We have to consider our current set of circumstances and state of mind when considering what is the wise thing to do. And then finally, we need to ask the question, with the future in mind, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Now, we all have some idea of what we want our future to look like. We may not yet have a plan for how we're going to get there, but we have a general sense of where there is. And I'm guessing that when we envision our future, we don't envision ourselves being alone. We don't envision ourselves being broke. We don't envision ourselves being addicted and living lives that are totally unfulfilled. Nobody thinks about their future in that way. But here's the challenge. Life is really hard. And there are a lot of variables that we have absolutely, positively no control over. So we need to make our decisions today with tomorrow in mind. In light of our future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? In light of where I want to be financially in 10 years, what is the wise thing that I need to do now? If I'm in credit card debt now, I don't keep maxing them out and applying for new ones. What is the wise thing for me to do in light of my current financial situation with where I want to be 10 years from now? What is the wise thing for me to do in light of my future hopes and dreams? You know, truthfully, if we're here, we're going to be somewhere in 10 years. We should get to decide where we're going to be. If you don't, then retailers and lenders who care nothing about you may very well decide where you're going to be 10 years from now. And what is true of our lives financially is also true for our relational futures, our professional futures, our academic futures. Where do you want to be? Everybody ends up somewhere in life. Why not end up somewhere on purpose? Wisdom paves the way. So, in light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, the question we ask ourselves is, what is the wise thing for me to do? What is the wise thing for me to do? Got it? I hope so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the clarity of some good questions that help us frame our decision-making, so that in framing our decision-making, we can live with less regret. This day, as we consider what Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we understand just how applicable these basic truths are for us and how we live our lives. Help us, in light of our past, our present, and our future, help us to make the wise decision in every circumstance, so that we will find ourselves moving in a direction with less regret and greater hope. In Christ we pray. Amen. So let's talk for a little bit about what you heard. questions you have, comments you have, insights.